Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Thanksgiving Shia at the Young Israel Vladimir. Why is, one second, I put everyone on mute. Someone is not muted. One second. Okay, good morning. Welcome to our special Thanksgiving Shia at the Young Israel Vladimir. This is the series on insights and lessons from Torah HaRav. So we will be having a special Inyani Diyoma, if you will, Shia, in honor of Thanksgiving. So I'm going to begin, actually, by quoting from a sefer called Halachic Positions of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Okay. Celebrating Thanksgiving and eating turkey. The Torah states, "Uvechukosehim lo seilechu." In Vayikra, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Gimel, you shall not go in their ways. This edict is discussed in the Gemara in Masachas Avodah Zarah, and Tosfos concludes that two distinct type of customs are forbidden. The first type of custom, "Uvechukosehim lo seilechu," you shall not go in their statutes and their ways. So, what does that mean? The first type of custom that is forbidden are idolatrous practices. Forbidden. And the second is foolish ones found in Gentile communities, even if their origins are not adulterous. So you may not go in their ways. And Tosfos concludes there's two types of things you may not go in their adulterous ways and in their foolish ways found in Gentile communities, even if the origins are not based in Avodah Zarah. The Ran disagrees and rules that only customs with a basis in Avodah Zarah are prohibited, with a basis in idolatrous practices are prohibited. The Rama agrees with the Ran and states any custom done out of honor or any other reason is permissible as long as there is no taint of idolatrous origin. I will repeat it, any custom done out of honor or any other reason is permissible as long as there is no taint of idolatrous origin. The Vilna Gaon disagreed with the Rama and ruled the only time secular customs are permissible is when they have a Jewish origin. Rav Yitzchak Hutner, in his Pachad Yitzchak, appears to have adopted a stringent view. Rav Hutner writes, the establishment of an annual holiday based on the Christian calendar is associated with idol worship and thus prohibited. Rabbi Menashe Klein, his Mishnah Halachos, concurs with this prohibition. I'm not passing any halacha. I'm reading from the Sefer, and it brings different viewpoints, and everybody does what works for them, or on your custom, and according to your halachic psak. Rabbi Yehuda Henkin felt this is an unnecessary prohibition, and Rav Henkin felt halacha does not consider Thanksgiving a Jewish holiday. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Igros Moshe, states, Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday. Halacha does not prohibit its observance. However, Rav Moshe adds, Ba'alei Nefesh, pious people should be strict regarding the matter. According to Rav Soloveitchik, Thanksgiving is not regarded as a Gentile holiday, and it is permissible to eat turkey on this day. He felt that there was no problem with the kashrus of turkey, an opinion shared by his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Indeed, Rav Soloveitchik implied to his students that he and his family celebrated Thanksgiving, though he never canceled his shiur on that day. So Baruch Hashem, here we are not canceling shiur on this day. Why are people unmuting themselves? Can everyone please make sure that you do not unmute yourself, all the Zoom people? Okay, please make sure to remain muted. It's very important. So there is a machlokes poskim, if one may observe or one may not observe. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is not a gentle holiday, but Ba'alei Nefesh were stringent in the matter. Rav Soloveitchik felt that it was permissible. Turkey is kosher, and it is not a gentle holiday. So today is, of course, the secular observance of Thanksgiving, and I find it very interesting. I don't know if it always happens. I don't think it always happens at all. That coincides with the parsha of Thanksgiving. And no shir would be complete without discussing Inyani Diyoma of the parsha. However, before we even get to Hapam Oda Es Hashem, Leah's famous declaration of now I will thank Hashem, we must ask, what is gratitude? We know it's the essence of who we are as a people. We are called Yehudim, after the tribe of Yehuda, born right at the end of Perachov Tes in this week's parsha, Vayetze. Of course, when Leah had her fourth child, she said, Hapam Oda Es Hashem, Al Kain Karashimo Yehuda. And our essence is we are people of gratitude. We are called Yehudim. We are not called after the tribe of Reuven. We are not called after the tribe of Shimon or Dan or Naphtali. But everywhere we go through all the millennia of our exile, we are known as Yehudim after the tribe of thanks. Furthermore, the first word that a Jew says every day when he opens his eyes in the morning is Moda Ani. Thankful am I, Lefanecha, before you, the living and everlasting King, for returning my neshama to me. So gratitude is a very integral part of who we are. Ad kedei kach, the first thing you say in the morning is Modeh, before we check our phones and before we talk to our families and before we daven and before everything. While you still lay and you wake up, it's Moda Ani. What is gratitude? So this is very interesting. About a month ago or so, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter gave a shiur, a Yahrzeit shiur for his mother, Allah Hashem, and he was actually speaking about gratitude. And I want to quote one source that he quoted. Okay, this is from his handout. It's from a Robert A. Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S, Robert A. Emmons, in the book Thanks. How practicing gratitude can make you happier. And Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter said something which I found amusing. He called him the Rosh Kibahag of gratitude. The Rosh Kibahag is the Rosh Kol B'nei HaGol. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was the Rosh Kibahag, our great leader. So he said that this Robert A. Emmons was the Rosh Kibahag of gratitude. And he wrote a book called Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier. Okay? So one paragraph from his handout. What is gratitude? And you'll see that it's a very, once again, Jewish principle and Jewish idea. Gratitude is recognizing and acknowledging. And Emmons writes, in my own thinking about gratitude, I have found it very helpful to conceive of it in terms of two stages. In my own thinking, let's think about what gratitude is. I have found it very helpful to conceive of it in terms of two stages. First, stage of gratitude. The acknowledgement of goodness in one's life. This is totally a Jewish principle and idea. Before we can be modeh on the good, we must be makir tov. What does makir tov mean? What does hakaras tov mean? So sometimes we erroneously translate hakaras tov as being thankful. That's totally inaccurate. That's not what it means. Hakaras tov is the first stage of gratitude. Ani makira atchan means I recognize you. Aten makirim makirot oti. Lahakir is to recognize. So hakaras hatov means first you must recognize the good. And that's the first stage of gratitude. In order to be grateful for something, you have to recognize that you have. You can't be grateful if you don't recognize the good. You can't bow down modi manachnu lach and then give thanks for what you have if you don't think you have anything good. So Emmons comes along and he tells us that gratitude is firstly the acknowledgement of goodness in one's life. And this is lahakir et hatov, to recognize all the good that God has done for us. Only once you recognize what you have in life, which requires us to focus on what we have, can we give gratitude. Going back to Emmons, we affirm that all things taken together, life is good. In gratitude, we say yes to life. And if life is good, there are elements that make it worth living. The acknowledgement that we have received something gratifies us, either by its presence or by the effort the giver went into choosing it. My brother once said to me, my brother's a Rebbe in Har Torah, and he once said about receiving gifts from somebody, it's a sign of appreciation. It doesn't matter so much what the gift was. It's that that person went out of their way and they're thinking of you. And for that, you're grateful. More than the object in your hand, you're grateful for the sentiment that goes along with what you have been given. And Emmons writes, the acknowledgement that we have received something gratifies us, either by its presence, you either appreciate what you're holding in your hand, or by the effort the giver went into choosing what to give us. So first, gratitude is acknowledging good. Second, recognizing, and this is very, very interesting, that the source of goodness lies outside the self. Someone has done something for me. The source of goodness lies outside the self. The object of gratitude, therefore, is other-directed. One can be grateful to other people. One can be grateful to God. One can be grateful to animals, but one is not grateful to oneself. This is one significant way in which gratitude differs from other emotions. A person can be angry at himself. If you've ever done a sin which you said, don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do, and then you find you did it. And then you're upset at yourself. A person can be upset at themselves. A person can be pleased with themselves. A person can be proud of himself. A person can feel guilty about doing wrong. But it will be... let me repeat the sentence. A person can be angry at himself, pleased with herself, proud of himself, or feel guilty about doing wrong. But it would be bizarre to say that a person is grateful to herself. Why? Because gratitude isn't just recognizing and acknowledging the good we have. It's recognizing and acknowledging that someone else has done something positive, helpful, beneficial for me that I could not have done for myself. So if I'm in a compromised situation and you send me a supper, and that day I was not able to prepare supper, I'm grateful because you provided me and filled a need and a lack that I could not have done for myself. It would be bizarre to say that a person feels grateful to herself. Even if you bought yourself a lavish dinner, as I am inclined to do, writes Emin, when I order room service, it would be peculiar if I would give thanks to myself. Thanks are directed outwards towards the giver of the gift. So there are two principles here, and these are really, really very Jewish principles. From tongue-in-cheek, the Rosh Kibahag of gratitude, to quote Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, Robert A. Emmons. I just want to make sure they're all... Now everyone seems to be muted. Okay. So therefore, we have come up with two principles. One, the Jewish idea of hakar satov. First, I must recognize and acknowledge lahakir et hatov sheyeshli. Im ani lo makira et hatov, ani lo yichola lomar toda. You only say thanks because you recognize that someone has done something for you. Recognition of good and acknowledgement of good leads to giving thanks. And second of all, the awareness that someone else has done for me something that I could not have done for. It could be a simple thing, it could be a great thing, but that is a very humbling idea. It's humbling because it teaches us interdependence. In life, we do not live in a vacuum. Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado, ezer lo ezer kenegdo. We are interdependent on one another. And we recognize that you do something that I cannot do for myself. That leads me to be thankful. In chapter 100 of Tehillim, Kapitel Kof, which is the chapter of Mizmor Lesoda. Mizmor Lesoda, Hariyu LaHashem Kol Haaretz, a song of thanks. Let all the earth call out to God. This was a chapter during temple times, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when a person would bring a korban todah, a thanksgiving offering. Whenever he survived a life-threatening situation, he crossed the midbar, he crossed the sea, he had a refuah shelema, he was released from prison. If a person would bring a korban todah because he was saved from a life-threatening situation, the Mizmor Lesoda would be recited along with the korban todah. Mizmor Lesoda, Hariyu LaHashem Kol Haaretz, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, serve God with simcha, with gladness, Ba'u Lefanav Birnana, come before him with rina, Du'u Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, know that God is Elokim, Hu Asanu, he made us, V'lo Anachnu. Now I'm not going to translate V'lo Anachnu yet, why not? The question is, how do we spell V'lo Anachnu in this capital of Tehillim? There's the Ksiv and there's the Kri. Let's translate the rest and come back to these words. V'lo anachnu. Amo vitzon ma'ariso. We are his nation and the flock of his assembly. Ba'u sha'arav b'soda. Come to his gates in thanks. Chatzerosav b'tehila. Come to his courtyard with thanks, with praise. Hodulo. Give thanks to him. Baruch hu shemo. Bless his name. Ki tov Hashem. God is good. La'olam chasto, his kindness is eternal, va'ad dar vador emunoso. And from generation to generation is his faithfulness. So in Pasuk Gimel here, I'm in chapter 100, Kapitel Kuf of Tehillim. In Pasuk Gimel, du'u ki Hashem hu Elokim, know that God is Elokim, hu asanu, he made us, listen carefully, v'lo anachnu. The ksiv, the way it's written, is lamed aleph, Anachnu. What does lo anachnu mean? Lamed aleph? And not us. The Kri, the way we read it, is velo anachnu lamid vav anachnu. What is lo lamid vav? To him. So there is a stira here, if you will, between the ksiv, the way the pasuk is written, and the kri, the way it's read. The way it's written is velo with an aleph, anachnu. We are not. Velo, not, anachnu, us. And the way we read it is velo with a vav, anachnu, to him we are. So Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter explained this very beautifully in keeping with Emin's theory that gratitude is not only recognition and acknowledgement of good. Think of anything you have in your life. If you're thankful for it, it's because you acknowledge it's a blessing. And if you don't acknowledge it's a blessing, you're never going to be thankful. But the second nekuda of gratitude was, it's not something you do for yourself. It's something someone else does for you. So now let's go back to the ksiv and the kri. Velo anachnu, with an aleph, we have not done it for ourselves. Lo anachnu, not to us. Therefore, once we acknowledge that all the good we have in our life is not because of our hands, but because of God's benevolence, then we can say, velo anachnu, with a vav. Can you see me smiling under my mask? Because it's a very beautiful pshat. Velo anachnu, with an aleph, means we recognize we are not. Not us. We have not done all the good in our life to us. Therefore, we acknowledge and appreciate everything is from Hashem. Therefore, lo anachnu, with a vav, we are to him, because he has given us everything that we have. Did I make it clear? Beautiful, beautiful idea. So next time you say the Mizmor LeSoda, which will, unless you say it this afternoon, tomorrow morning, before you say he kavod, it's something beautiful to keep in mind, related very much to this idea of gratitude. Lo with an aleph, we are not to ourselves the providers of all the good, and therefore lo anachnu with a vav, we are to him, for he has provided us with all good. I am now going to quote from Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. Very interesting and beautiful pshat that I'm going to bring you. Here's the Sefer. Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, Torah Lights, a biblical commentary on Sefer Vayikra. It's entitled, God, What Have You Done For Me Lately? And he's going to begin by talking about the woman who has just given childbirth. Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar. Parshas Tazriya. Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar. If a woman has given birth, ki tazriya, she has born seed, v'yalda zachar. V'tuma shivas yamim, she is impure for 7 days. Kimei nidas dovasa tumasa, like the days according to her menstrual sickness, she is unclean. So when a woman gives birth, for a male child or a female child, the Torah prescribes a certain length of uncleanliness. It doesn't mean physically she is unclean. Ritual impurity. Quoting from Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, one of the greatest miracles of life is that of childbirth. My daughter actually, I don't remember which class it was, but they had a sort of show and tell. She's a senior, so it was on a different level than the kids. I don't remember what they were learning. So I told her, you should bring in the picture of you, Tamar, when you were just born. She said, no. I think it was like on Ein Tzur Kelokeinu. Yeah, they were learning Tfilas Chana, Ein Tzur Kelokeinu. And Rashi says, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. There's no rock like Hashem. And Rashi, according to the Gemara, says, don't read it, there's no rock like God. Read it, there's no artist like Hashem. So they needed to bring in something to show the Niflos Habori. So I told my daughter that she should bring in a picture of herself when she was just born. You could see the umbilical cord still. She said, no, that's gross. I said, it's amazing. Is there a bigger miracle of Ein Sayar Kelokeinu than seeing that? She wasn't masking. One of the greatest miracles of life is that of childbirth. And this Torah portion, Tazria, opens with the short state of impurity and the much longer state of purity which the mother must experience. The tuma, the tahara, the process that the new mother undergoes after childbirth. And the Torah commands the mother to bring two korbanos. obviously during temple times. She must bring a whole burnt offering, an ola, I believe, a whole burnt offering, it says English, symbolizing the fact that all of life ultimately belongs to God. An ola is totally burnt to God. And when you bring, Yitzchak was supposed to be, va'avei l'sham lo'ola, al-achar har mesha'araka, ola symbolizes everything is yours, Hashem. And she also must bring, what's the other famous one that she must bring, a karban? Chatas, because we all know, if the woman took an oath during the difficult childbirth, never to become pregnant again, because she never wants to go through this again, now she must be, she has to do teshuva, she has to bring a chatas, because she sinned. What was the sin? I'm never going to have a child again, I'm never going to be with my husband again, I'm not in that order, I'm never going to go through this experience again, and now she is going to, so she must bring a total burnt offering to God, as well as a korban chatas. Rabbi Riska notes, what's strange about all this is the mother is not commanded to bring a korban todah. Is there anything greater than the miracle of witnessing the arrival of a new child? From nothing came something. A new human being just emerged from your womb. And yet she is not commanded to bring a korban todah. This is very strange. This is the most likely sacrifice one would expect to find offered in such a situation. Mizmar l'soda, hariu l'ashem kol ha'aretz, v'lo anachnu, v'lo anachnu. And yet she does not have to bring a korban todah. There is a second question, writes Rabbi Riskin, specific to the korban todah, specific to the Thanksgiving offering. The general law regarding a korban todah, now again we talk about the halachos in temple times, is that it must be completely consumed on the day it was brought. The day the korban todah is brought, it has to be eaten. One day, one night. It can't be eaten next week. It can't be eaten in 3 days. It can't be eaten if Shabbos leftovers. The day you bring the korban todah is the day you have to eat it. The priests, the kohanim, eat of it, their allotted portion. They're still extra. Those who bring it eat of it, and you invite others in Jerusalem to eat of it as well. It must be consumed by the end of the first night, the day it was brought. Since many wealthy people would bring especially generous Thanksgiving offerings in accordance with their station in life, and since the meat had to be consumed in one day, and here he quotes from Josephus, this is very interesting. Josephus records there was always plenty of barbecued meat offered to the residents and to the pilgrims, those who were over the regal in Jerusalem. They had open kiddushes, Rabbi Riskin puts that in quotes, free to everyone. So Josephus notes that there was always so much meat, because when he brought the korban todah, and it had to be brought along with loaves of bread, there was so much food. The priest took their portion, the kohanim, you took your portion, the baal todah, but now there's so much left over, and the halacha said it has to be finished, so what are we going to do with all of it? You invite people to eat it with you. This certainly added an extra incentive to travel to Jerusalem for the Shalosh Regalim. Good food, free of charge, and it was always in abundance. But the Thanksgiving offering, the korban todah, is merely one type of sacrifice under the general category of korban shlamim. So the korban todah, there's an umbrella called korban shlamim. The korban todah is under that umbrella. Of all the other korban shlamims, peace offerings, they may be consumed for 2 days. Only the korban todah, in the category of the shlamim sacrifices, must be eaten in 1 day. Not only that, you should therefore share it with everybody. And remember our first question, Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar, why doesn't she have to bring a korban todah? Is there anything greater to give thanks on? From. You have a suda for the bris milah, you have a kiddush when a girl is born, some people have a kriya bat, so why don't we have a korban todah after the woman gives birth? So Rabbi Riskin offers a very, very profound answer from the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Ha'emek Davar. First, he brings us other instances in Chumash. I'll tell you, let him finish the sentence. 3 days after the miracle of Yamsuf, 3 days after the splitting of the Reed Sea, the freed slaves complain about the bitter waters at Mara, Parshas Beshalach. They just crossed Yamsuf, there was a great miracle, and then they come to Mara, v'lo yolchu l'shtos mayim mimara, ki marim heim, and they're screaming at Moshe. 40 days, After the phenomenal revelation at Har Sinai, the Israelites worship the golden calf. And, coming to our day and time, the day after the miraculous Six-Day War and the liberation of Jerusalem, the Jews in the diaspora, as well as in Israel, largely returned to business as usual. Indeed, Moshe Dayan, when he first visited the Western Wall, kissed the stones with such visible emotion. A reporter asked him, "Did you become a born-again Jew?" Dayan responded, "Honestly, I was not religious yesterday, and I will not be religious tomorrow. But at this moment, no one in Israel is more religious than I." What's the answer of the Netziv as to why the woman does not bring a Korban Todah upon giving birth to new life? Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, famed 19th century dean of the Volozhin Yeshiva, answers our questions. And listen carefully. Listen very carefully. It is sadly not within the nature of most people to sustain our feelings of thanksgiving. We are generally concerned with what God has done for us lately, now, today. We all too easily forget God's many bounties of yesterday, and certainly of last year, and certainly of 5 years ago. Think how you felt. Think to yourself in your own mind, years ago, a number of years ago, many decades, when you were in a difficult situation and you had a Yeshua from that situation. And the feeling of despair and the feeling of thanks that followed the Yeshua is so pronounced, is so real, is so visceral. And human nature is that later we forget. The Netziv explains that the offering for thanksgiving must be consumed on the very day it was brought, because by the next day, the feelings of gratitude will have diminished and dissipated. You will not feel that intense level of Mizmar L'Soda, Ril Hashem Kol Ha'aretz, V'lo Anachnu, V'lo Anachnu, even the next day. By the next day, the feelings of gratitude will have dissipated. And since a woman may not offer a temple sacrifice immediately after childbirth, because first she has a period of impurity, followed by her count of purity, 40 days for a male child, 80 days for a female child, so there is an extended time before she can come to offer her korbanos, she cannot be commanded or expected to bring a korban todah such a long time after the birth. By then, last sentence of Rabbi Riskin, she may be so concerned with staying up at night and the vexations of a colicky offspring that the initial joy of birth may well have been forgotten. So therefore he answered both his questions. What were the questions? Why doesn't the woman bring a korban todah? The answer is the birth and the offerings have so much space between them that by the time she would bring the korban todah, she would have forgotten the good that was done for her. The second question was, why must it be eaten that day? And it's the only one of the korbanos in the category of the shlamim sacrifices that has one day to be eaten, because it reminds us and symbolizes us that gratitude is too often fleeting. And too often we quickly forget the good that has been done to us and for us. And it's an avoda. It's something we have to work on to ensure that we don't forget the good. Because life passes, and other challenges come up, and other nisyonos face us, and other difficulties get in the way. And it is human nature to forget what has been done. So gratitude encapsulates giving thanks, but before we give thanks, we acknowledge and recognize what we have. Then we give thanks, noting that the source of our thanks is outside of ourselves. You could be angry at yourself, guilty at yourself, pleased with yourself, proud of yourself. But it would be bizarre to say, I give thanks to myself. Thanks is for the Ribono Shel Olam. With that, I would like to go to this week's parsha. We're in Parshas Vayetze. On Yaakov Avinu, the parsha begins with his famous dream, Parachav Chas, and after his famous dream, he ends up in Haran by the well, and he loves Rachel so much, he's going to work for her for 7 years. He kisses her, he cries, makes a deal with Laban, better for me to give you to her than to give you for someone else. The deal is made, and finally, when Yaakov is 84 years old, says Rashi, he goes to Laban, and he says, Ki yemalu, Maluya, my days have been filled. Give me my wife. I will come to her. There's a wedding party in the morning. It's Leah. Oh my gosh. What did he do to me? Ma'asitali, what did he do to me? Hello, Barachal Avdecha. Didn't I work for Rachel? Sorry, pal. Maybe in your place, says the Medrash, you put the younger before the older. In your place, says the Medrash, you tricked Esav. And you put yourself, the younger, before the elder. In our place, this is not done, says the Medrash. So he marries Leah. And Zilpah comes along as the Shifcha. After 7 days, he marries Rachel. And Bilhah as the Shifcha. And now he will work for 7 more years to pay for the marriage for Rachel. Vayar Hashem kisnu Leah. God saw that Leah was hated. Vayiftach es Rachma, he opened her womb. V'Rachel akara, and Rachel was unable to conceive. V'tahar Leah v'teli bein v'tikrashmo Reuven, and Leah conceived. She gave birth to a son, and she called his name Reuven. Ki amra, because she said, Ki ra Hashem ba'ani, God has seen my affliction. Ki ata yehavani ishi, certainly now, my husband. Well, love him. Rachis only, says Yaakov in Perek Mem Tes to Reuven. He is his first Bechara. He is the first of his strivings. He opened up his fountain of fatherhood. And she says, maybe now my husband will love me. And she conceives again, and she gave birth to a son, and she said, God heard that I was hated. And he gave me to this one. And she calls his name Shimon. The names of these first children reflect the longing for her husband's love and attention. Reuven, God saw my affliction. Ra'ah. Shimon, God heard that I was hated. Levi. Vatahar or vateleid bein. She conceived again. She gave birth to a son. Vatomer, and she said, Hapa'am, yilav ata hapa'am. Certainly now, yilav at yishi elai, my husband will accompany me. Ki aladiti lo shlosha banim, Rashi says, in Nevuah, the Imahos were Nevios, and she saw that there were going to be 12 tribes, 4 wives. So if she got 3 sons, she realized she filled her quota. She did her job for Yaakov. She birthed the 3 sons she was supposed to birth. And therefore now my husband will accompany me, Levi. And then the very last pasuk of Perachavtas. Vatahar od, she conceived again. Vatele bein, she gave birth to a son. Vatomer, and she said, famous, famous last words. Apa'am odeh et Hashem. Alkein kara al shemo Yehuda. This time I will thank God. And therefore she called his name Yehuda and she stopped giving birth. And Rashi famously says, very short Rashi, why did she give thanks now with the 4th child? Why not by the 1st? Aren't you thankful when you have a child? Why not by the 2nd? Why not by the 3rd? Even if you don't bring up carbon toda, you still feel an element of hoda'ah. So Rashi says, Shenatalti yotir michalki ma'ata yeshli lehodot. I took more than my portion. Now I must give thanks. What do you mean you took more than your portion? Well, if there's supposed to be 12 tribes and there's going to be 4 wives, 4 is more than my portion. Therefore, me'achshav me'ata yeshli lehodot. Therefore, now I must give thanks. But the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Miyam Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Olamo, from the day God created this world, his world. Lo Haya Adam Shehoda LaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Shabasa Leyev Hodaso. Gemara says, from the day Hashem created the world, there was no one who gave thanks to Hashem until Leah came along and gave thanks. Shanemar, like the pasuk says, quoting our parsha, "Apam oda es Hashem." This time I thank Hashem. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches here in the Gemara that from Hashem created the world, okay, 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avram, and now you have 3 generations after Avram, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and now Yehuda's born. So like 23, 24 generations from Bria Olam. And the Gemara says there was no one who gave thanks to Hashem until later. What does this mean? Rashi says, on the Gemara, not Rashi to the Chumash, which we already quoted, Rashi on the Gemara says, Hapam Oda Et Hashem, Lafisha Rasa Baruch HaKodesh, she saw with divine inspiration, She Yaakov Mamid Shneim Asar Shvatim, Yaakov would establish 12 tribes, and he had 4 wives, Kevan Shayalda Ben Revi'i, because she gave birth to 4 son, Hodeit Al Chalka, she gave thanks for her portion, She'ala Yoter Mina Cheshbon HaMagila, because she got more than the accounting of what was coming to her. What does it mean? This is a very strange Gemara. In Tolea, nobody gave thanks. In 24 generations, no one ever said thank you, Hashem. Vayita Eishu be'er Sheva, vayikro Shem b'shem b'shem kel olam. Right at the end of Perach of Aleph, Lamed Gimel, I think, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Avraham Avinu planted an Eishu in be'er Sheva, an acronym for Achila Shasiya Levia. He would give his guests food and drink and accompany them on their way. Rav and Shmuel say, and the Rashi quotes, he established a pundak to feed his guests. He grew an orchard to feed his guests. And Rashi says there, what does it mean through this Eishu, Vayikra Shem B'Shem B'Shem Kel Olam? So Rashi says, after the guests would eat and drink, Avraham Avinu would say to them, you didn't eat from my food. Baruchu l'misha amar v'haya olam, give thanks to God. You ate God's food. So how do we understand what the Gemara is saying, that in 23, 24 generations, no one said thank you? Noah, when he came out of the Teva, didn't say thank you? Adam, when the woman was created, didn't say thank you? Avraham, when the child was born, didn't say thank you? What does the Gemara mean to tell us? So first I'm going to quote Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, Moshe Matityahu. Rabbi Zev Lev teaches as follows. From the time the world was created, no one ever felt the bounty given to him by Hashem was totally undeserved. People have a tendency to think magiali. Nechama Leibowitz used to say, people think magiali. She would say, lo magialachem klum. People think we deserve. It's coming to me. Rabbi Zev Lev says, from the time the world was created, no one ever felt the bounty given to him by Hashem was totally undeserved. Even the greatest people thought what was given to them was part of God's plan for the world. So it was not completely undeserved. I'm helping you fulfill your divine plan, so what you just gave me is deserved. So how thankful do I really have to be if I deserve it? It reminds me of something else that Rabbi Dr. J.J. Sechter said in that shiur. If you lend somebody $20, okay, and they come back and they pay you back $20, you're going to say thank you because it's common courtesy, but you're not going to fawn over them and bow down. Why? It was my $20. I gave you $20 to borrow. You come back the next week and give me $20. So how thankful do I really have to be? You gave me what was mine. So that's what Rabbi Zev Lev is explaining here. But from the time the world was created, people thought what was given to them was part of God's plan for the world, so it wasn't totally undeserved. So how thankful do I really have to be if you give me something that I deserve? However, says Rabbi Lev, God's plan for the 12 tribes could have been equally fulfilled if the 4th son born to Leah was born to any of her sisters. Leah felt this birth was totally unearned and consequently elicited a full measure of gratitude. She was the first person who appreciated to Rabbi Lev that the blessing she received and the gift she received was not magiyali. Totally not. It should have been magiya to somebody else. Maybe Zilpa, maybe Rachel, maybe Bilha, but not me. She was the first person in the world who felt, says Rabbi Lev, this birth was totally unearned and therefore it elicited a full measure of gratitude. When we can come to the realization that lo magia li klum, I really deserve nothing, and everything I have is from the shefa bracha of the Ribono Shel Olam, then I will truly be thankful and I will truly have gratitude. That elicits the fullest measure of gratitude. You didn't give it to me because I deserved it. You gave it to me because I didn't deserve it, but you gave it to me anyway. The Shir series is called Insights and Lessons from Torah HaRav. We began with Rav Soloveitchik, halachic positions of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, on the halachic makloches between the poskim of celebrating Thanksgiving and eating turkey. And we will end with a very powerful teaching of Rav Soloveitchik into this Gemara. What did Leah introduce to the world? The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai could go so far as to say, from the time the world was created, no one ever thanked Hashem except for Leah. Rav Soloveitchik explains the concept of thanksgiving. He's not talking about the secular holiday today. Literally, giving thanks. The concept of thanksgiving involves, quote, listen very carefully. Listen very, very carefully. I'm wearing a mask. My glasses are foggy. I hope everyone could hear and understand. The concept of thanksgiving involves expressing gratitude to God for that which has been attained, while accepting it is impossible to acquire everything which one desires. I'm going to repeat that. The concept of thanksgiving involves expressing gratitude to God for that which has been attained, while accepting it is impossible to acquire everything which one desires. That was Leah's thanks. Only after her fourth son was born did Leah finally resign herself to the truth of her relationship with Yaakov. A woman, says Rav Soloveitchik, has two great needs. She wants to be loved by her husband, and she craves children for whom to raise and give love. And Leah realized that even after birthing three sons, there would be no fundamental change in Yaakov's relationship with her. She would never get everything she wanted, because she would never be the Akeres Habayis. That was Rachel. And after the first son, she said, God has seen, Ra'ah Hashem ba'aniyi. God has seen my affliction. And after the second son, she said, Ki shama Hashem ki snu anochi. God has heard of my pain and my hatred. And after the third son, she said, Ata pami lave yushi alai ki nesati lo shlosh banim. Certainly now, shlosh banim. God will certainly, my husband will certainly accompany me. And by the fourth son, there's a fundamental change in the naming of her children. She no longer expresses longing for her husband. She simply says, thank you. What does Leah teach us? One must be able to say thank you for what I have, even though I do not have everything that I want. Only with the fourth son did Leah finally relinquish, says the Rav, the hope of ever being Yaakov's beloved. But nevertheless, she was able to be grateful to God that she had four children to love and care for. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Maseches Brachos, continuing with Rav Soloveitchik, mentions that Leah was the first to offer thanks to God, because she was the first to assert, quote, God must be praised for any blessing he bestows upon us, even if there's a lack in my life. Leah was able to say, you know, I hope my husband will love me. I hope my husband will accompany me. I hope my husband will come to my tent. I hope I'll be that Keres Habayis. And when she saw that that was not going to happen, she resigned herself and accepted the reality of, I must give thanks for what I have, even if it's not everything that I wanted. And the name Yehuda, says Rav Soloveitchik, later became associated with the Jewish people itself. Despite the suffering and the persecution we have been subjected to, we remain thankful to God for the privilege of being his selected people. It is a fundamental, crucial, vital, important life lesson. We've covered so many topics today, so many insights, so many sources on what it means to give gratitude and what it means to give thanks. But we end this piece by Rav Soloveitchik because nobody in life has everything exactly as they envisioned, or if they want, or as they wanted, or as they planned for themselves. Soloveitchik says in another piece, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. And yet, we still must be able to wake up and say, Moda ani. I am thankful before you, the living and thankful. Not I am thankful, I translated it wrong. We don't say I is the first word of the day. We say thankful as the first word of the day. Leah teaches us that even in life, if we feel a lack, if we perceive something not exactly as we wanted, we must be able to recognize the good that we do have. And for that, we give thanks. And so with the fourth child, the theme of the names of the sons changed. It was no longer about her husband. It was simply about saying, thank you, Hashem, for what I have, despite what I lack. And that's the essence of being a Jew. Thank you, Hashem, for everything I have. Even if you have not given me everything I thought I needed and I wanted. And every day we say Moda Ani, and three times a day we bow down by Modim, and once a day in the Psukei Dezimra we say Mizmor Lasoda. Velo Anachnu. We are not the providers of all that we have. Velo Anachnu. We are to Him, for He provides all that we have. I will end with a little story that was going around on WhatsApp a couple of years ago. I dreamt that I went to heaven, and an angel was showing me around. We walked side by side inside a large workroom filled with angels. My angel guide stopped in front of the first section and he said, this is the receiving section. Here, all petitions to Hashem said in prayer are received. I looked around the area. It was terribly busy. There were so many angels sorting petitions, written on sheets of paper and scraps of paper from people all over the world. Then we moved on to a long corridor until we reached the second station. The angel said to me, this is the packaging and delivery section. Here, the graces and blessings that people asked for are processed and delivered to the people who asked for them. It was very busy here, too. There are many angels working so hard. Many blessings have been requested. Many blessings were being packaged for delivery to Earth. Finally, at the farthest end of a long corridor, we stopped at the door of a very small station. To my great surprise, only one angel was seated there, idly doing nothing. This is the acknowledgement section, my angel friend said. He seemed embarrassed. How is it there is no work going on here, I said. It is so sad, said the angel. After the people receive their blessings they asked for, very few send back acknowledgments. How does one acknowledge God's blessings, I asked the angel. Simple, the angel answered. Just say thank you, Hashem. Mizmor L'Soda Haril Hashem Kol Haaretz. Let us ensure that the thanksgiving is not fleeting. Let us ensure the feeling of Hoda'ah remains with us. Let us ensure, like Leah, we thank Hashem for what we have, even if it's not everything that we wanted. Let us ensure, like Rabbi Zev Lev taught, that we do not feel magiali, but rather lo magiali klum, and everything I have is a gift. Let us ensure that we are makir tov, so that we can be moda al tov, recognizing that God is the source of all that we have, velo anachnu. We are not unto ourselves as providers, and therefore velo anachnu, to Him we give thanks. If you eat turkey, if you don't eat turkey, if you observe, if you don't observe, I wish you a meaningful day and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so, so much, everybody. Kol tov.